Welcome to the Grace Place Weekly Podcast. No matter your size, age, shade, or background, here you'll receive compelling lessons suited to help guide your walk with Christ and your relationships with others. Please join us now for this week's podcast, recorded live from Grace Place in St. Paul, Minnesota.
Talk about grace, you know, and tearing down walls. I have maintained walls that I built. I've justified my frustration, blamed people for my conditions, and held on to my pain. And by God, I tear that down and think, I don't want to live like that. Have you ever been justifiably mad? It still feels mad. Right? Justifiably mad. I said, let's go. And nobody wants to go. And I'm mad. Went fishing last week. Terry said, when are you going to shave? And I said exactly what I would say to anybody else who asked me that whenever I want to. And then when I looked at her and thought about she don't like to kiss me, I said, I'll probably shave tonight.
Kind of gives you the want to, so, don't it?
Kind of makes you think about things a little bit. So we've been to the Boundary Waters, and I took with me this time people that have never been there. We call them rookies. And when I get them alone in the boat with just me, I start talking to them about all the controversial stuff that we believe in as a church, that we believe in. We think Jesus loves everybody. And people get blown away by that. And I ask them, how can you justify what you believe? Don't you think he loves everybody? Well, he loves everybody that believes in him. I said, well, you don't believe in him. And he loves you. Do you know that churches believe in their doctrines, but they don't believe in Jesus? Truth. People believe in baptism, pastor, but they don't believe in Jesus. As a matter of fact, there are people who believe in believing. I believe you got to believe. That kind of got around the campfire while we were together. And I say, no, he's bigger than your belief or unbelief. If he wasn't, nobody would make it, because it's not up to your belief. It's not up to your grip. Aren't you glad it's not up to how strong you got a hold of this? It's his grip. It's his grace. He believes in himself. And when he can find no one greater, he swears by himself. Don't make me preach already, because I'm telling you, I'm up there with these preachers, and finally on a Friday coming out, packed, the canoe's just packed. I got a preacher from Houston, Texas, and he said, my God, this changes everything. That's what he said. My God. He's looking that way. I'm looking at the back of his head. I started hollering, woo! Glory to God. He got it, sitting looking the wrong way in a canoe. He said, my God, well, this changes everything. I said, yes, sir. It changes everything. When you believe in him, it delivers you from religion. It saves you from all that. Thank you, Jesus. Maybe the people on the computer could make a big word. I don't know how you can do it yet this morning, but kingdom and maybe freedom. And when I say kingdom or freedom, maybe they can slap that up here on the screen behind me so that you can look at the word kingdom, freedom. In the Bible, God arranged it so that there would be these major stories, the great stories. And that he would build on each of those great lives, those stories, the history. Everybody say history. Think of the last part of the word, history, the story, his story, right? That he would build an understanding on these stories. So each one of the great characters in the Bible, each one of the great stories, relates to every one of us because it's a person. It's a real place. It's a real time. But the bottom line for these great stories is that they all point to Jesus, and they all relate and they all build on each other. If you can think that way when you read your Bible, you won't just go looking for facts, but you'll realize that the story can mean something different to me than it does to you on a certain day. And so listen to this. Listen to this. I have found the answer to denominationalism. If you hear the story and you believe it or think something different than I do, it's okay because it's a story. So nobody can be against anybody anymore because it can mean something different to you than me, and we can't fight over what it means because it means something different to everybody. The story is big enough, God is big enough to speak to every one of us in whatever situation. I don't know. Sometimes I don't relate to my wife. She's a woman. I'm a man. We don't think alike. But God's big enough to make the story so she gets it and I get it.
That's true. Yeah.
That you can get it all over the world, any nation. Think about how wonderful this is if we could convert our thinking. If you can convert today and quit trying to be so logos, so doctrinal, so specific in your mind about certain scriptures and open your mind to say, what's it all about? What's the big picture here? Then we'll quit fighting over small things. How many of you are married? Can I see all the hands of the married people? Everybody raise them real high. I know maybe some of you are slower to that. You're still married. How many of you looking back realize that some of your controversy, some of the arguments you've had or the fights you've had really were over small things? And they escalate. There's ego involved. There's, you know, who's in charge, all that. That's the problem with religion. People get divided over little insignificant things. How many of you know that's true? Well, now you may think that yours are the big ones and everybody needs to come under yours, but the truth is, when you understand the big picture, and I'm going to tell you what it is, and we're going to get a major portion of that from the story of Moses. Awesome. The first story is Adam and Eve, and they failed. If you have children who are right now in trouble, you need to believe in a God whose own first two kids blew it. And he could figure out a way to go find them when they were in trouble and cover their shame. That's a good God.
Yeah.
And if you think about Noah, in the midst of all the trouble, and people talk about America, there are preachers who talk about this nation as if we are the most demonic, terrible place on the planet, and as if we're all dying, going to hell. The truth of the matter is, God can speak and somebody can build a boat and save us. Jesus is the boat. God made a plan. There's a boat bigger than you and your family. There's a boat big enough to hold the whole bunch of us. That's a great story. When we get to Moses, we find the children of Israel in bondage. The whole nation is in bondage. I have addictions. Some of you have addictions. Some of you have addictions so strong that you've tried to quit bunches of times. And you've cried about it, and you've sworn off. And you find yourself continually tempted. We're not all tempted about the same things. Your temptation's different from mine. Your taste is different from mine. And you can say, oh my God, what am I going to do? I've got this in my life. I can't get over it. Some of you are addicted to negative thinking. You've been so beat up and so negative that you can't even believe the good stuff that Jesus tells you about you. Because you're just addicted to being negative. Everything's negative. Everything's fearful. And so God's trying to set us all free. And Israel in Egypt is like a whole group of people in bondage. Do this with your hands, would you? Just do that with your hands. Put your wrists together. Push them together like that. Just do that. Everybody. Not just a few. Everybody in the nation was in bondage. There was nobody that was free. Oh, feel that. Just think about that. That's where you are. You're stuck right there. There, that's bondage. Everybody was in bondage. And God sent a deliverer. The story, you can quit now. The story of Moses points to Jesus. And Jesus came not to just set us free from a national horror, from physical bondage. Jesus came to set us free from spiritual bondage, which is mentally, spiritually, inwardly, your spirit. Jesus came to set you free. So the story of Moses points directly to Jesus. It speaks directly to me because he came to take me from this place of bondage and misery and labor to a place of freedom and rest. If your religion has not created in you a sense of peace and joy and rest, then he's still trying to set you free. I declare that people have come from addictions into the church only to find out that their church addictions are worse than the addictions they left behind. Because the church is addicted.
Sure, I get that.
To condemnation. We just love to tell people where they're wrong. Addicted to division. We love to figure out who's in and who's out. We're in. Addicted to religion. Addicted to the forms, the style. You know there are people that don't like Nate's style of music? They don't go here anymore. But they did. There are people that didn't like it. When I came here, there were people that asked me if I couldn't please calm this down. That's a truth.
That never happened.
It ain't even going to happen. You know what happened to me? I took up on my feet and said, we're going. Vote with your feet. I need your seat. That's mean. I'm getting more gracious now. Now I say, don't let the door hit you. No, I don't say that. So, everything that we're going to talk about in the next 15 minutes is God preparing, unbeknownst to Moses and the people, he's preparing for a deliverance. He's preparing you for a better place, for a higher place, for the next level. He's preparing you. I brought with me today my camera. On this camera, I'm not going to show them to you. I might someday, but on this camera are videos and pictures of my fishing trip. What's so cool is I bought this Friday night. Excuse me, Saturday night. I bought this Saturday night. We left on Monday. And I didn't have a clue. I couldn't even turn it on. I'm not real computer savvy, and sometimes new technology is quite confusing to me. Thank you. That's all I need is one. I waited. Thank you. But I took a guy with us who could figure it out and got it together and got it all straight. And we took pictures and video, and it's an underwater camera. It's a bust proof. I've had four screens on my telephone because I dropped my phone. The screen costs $100. I've paid enough for screens to fly to California twice. So I bought a camera that you can drop it. You can run over it. You can drop it in the lake. You can kick it. And he turned it on and said, my God, you can take video underwater. So I caught a fish. I caught 500, but the one I caught this time. I said, I caught 500. You can believe. You don't have to believe. You don't have to believe me. I was in the boat. I know. He put this camera under the water and it has this video of this camera in this clear water. Is this big fish comes all around the camera, and I'm going, that's just amazing. Here's the point. I got it on Saturday night, had no clue how to use it. I still can't figure it out. It's called preparation. If I'd buy it and have somebody talk to me just a little bit, I could figure it out. But as it is, I took very few pictures of other people. They had to take pictures of me the whole time because they know how to use the camera. If you'll prepare, if you'll think ahead, if you'll realize that everything God has done in your past is to get you ready to go to a higher level, knowledge is the key. Listen, knowledge, I'm going to read it to you. I wrote it down myself. Made this up myself. But I can't remember what I made up right now.
Something about knowledge.
Knowledge is the key to accomplishment. I wrote that about 4 o'clock this morning. Knowledge is the key to accomplishment. Bob Erickson, stand up just a minute. Bob's an engineer, does some real technical work. Now, Bob, think for just a minute. Tell me if this isn't the honest to God truth. If you don't know, you really can't do anything about it. But if you have knowledge, you can accomplish anything if you know. Isn't that right? And you can gain knowledge. You can gain knowledge. I took a guy fishing that didn't know how to fish. How many of you like to fish? Hands up. When I cast, I'm right-handed. When I cast, and I wind. This guy would cast, change hands, and then wind. And when I got in the boat with him, the day after he caught zero, he said, I'm so mad I didn't catch one fish. I said, come with me. You got to be with me. His name's Kevin Heron. He sang on our deal, our choir. I said, go with me. I said, if you don't catch 30, I'll give you $30. He caught 50.
How'd he do it?
I said, you can't cast like that and then change hands and let your slack hit the water and the lure sink down to the bottom. You got to cast and get going as soon as it hits the water. Click that thing shut, get that lure moving. The bass are biting. He said, what? I said, you can't look down every time. The reel is in the same place. He'd cast. Look down, click it closed, change hands, and by now, he said to me with tears in his eyes, he'll talk to you about this. He said, because of our religion, we were never allowed to be involved in sports. I have never in my life had a coach. Nobody has ever coached me. You're coaching me, and I'm catching fish, and he said, I love it. It came over him. He said, I just got the value of mentors. Just sitting in the boat. He said, I just got the value. How important it is that you have somebody that has knowledge that will tell you how to do it. I am telling you that God is preparing you. It's not fun. It's not easy. But if you'll listen, if you'll take inventory, if you'll see what God's going to do through Moses, if you'll realize that Moses, I thought maybe I should read some scripture. Exodus chapter 2, please. Let's just look at a verse. Exodus chapter 2. I am so excited today, I'm forgetting how to preach. All the rules, I've forgotten all the rules. Read your scripture, start a fire, build a bridge. Build a bridge. Make your closing remarks. Tell them what you're telling them. Tell them what you told them.
Start a fire, build a bridge.
Yeah, my exam, I'm all off. Brother Norris, S.G. Norris, who is our teacher right now over in Roselawn Cemetery, spinning so fast in his grave that if we hooked him up to some wires, he would light up the state. Because he told us what we were supposed to do, and I'm not. I'm not doing real good here.
You're doing
it. Quickly. Yes. I believe that. I believe that. You are moving forward. You're gaining ground right now. And it's difficult. You go through difficult times. That's the whole point of today's message is preparation. If you'll prepare, if you'll allow God to take what you've gone through to make sense out of it, you'll be way down the road from people that just think life is happening and you can't do anything about it. You can do something about your bad attitude. You can do something about the darkness that clouds you. You hear what I'm telling you? If you can wake up in the morning and just discipline yourself, teach yourself, train yourself, prepare yourself, wake up in the morning and let the first words out of your mouth be, thank you, Lord. I just want to thank you. You'll change your attitude. You won't be looking for all the negative. You'll start looking for the good, and you'll say, God is good, and He's with me, and He's delivered me. And I'm talking about very practical, real things where you wake up and say, I thank you for what you're doing in my life. You'll rise up on top of the thing that was hanging over top of you. Exodus 2:11, one day after Moses had grown up. Everybody say grown up. Grow up, would you? I mean, for God's sake, how old are you going to be before you grow up? All right, one time, not smart aleck, just sweet. Turn and tell somebody, grow up. Grow up. I don't want to make a big deal out of this, but I do want to tell you that it's recorded that Moses grew up.
Grew up. It took a while.
He's 40 years old, it says he grew up. He was 40 years old, and he sees an Egyptian beaten on an Israelite. He knows that he's an Israelite. Did you hear Jeff Arnold ever preach the message called, I'm not an Egyptian?
No.
I'm going to use a term of a friend of mine. This is not my term, but I'm going to preach it to you today. Moses was raised by his own mother. She was paid by the Pharaoh's daughter to raise that boy. This is a miracle. This is the first part of this story. And when Moses was 40 years old and he saw an Egyptian smiting an Israelite, please get this. Lord, I'm asking you to put a revelation on these people right now. Please let them get this.
In my mind, in my heart.
In Jesus' name, I'm asking. If you hear what I'm about to tell you, it will change your life. It will change the future of this church. When he said, I'm not an Egyptian. This is mine this morning. God spoke to me this morning. When Moses decided, I don't beat people up. I don't put up with people getting beat up. I can't stand it when people are in slavery. Because that spirit is on me. Your pastor is a freedom fighter. I am willing to lose money. I'm willing to lose an income. I'm willing to lose my reputation to fight for people that are in trouble. Not to beat them up anymore, but to lift them out. Moses saw that and said, I'm not an Egyptian. I'm an Israelite. And he killed an Egyptian. And he was chased down. He's a murderer. Moses the murderer. I don't know what you've done. But that's just one of the things you're not supposed to do. He murdered. He runs for his life, and he was 40 more years in the wilderness of Midian. Can you say 80 years old? Can you think 80 years old? My dad is 83, and I'm telling you right now, he can't walk from here to the back of this building. But when Moses came out of the wilderness, you know when he came out? When he saw a burning bush. He has this incredible revelation from God at 80 years old.
Dude,
you got to think about waiting 80 years to get your first chance. You're in casting class for 80 years before anybody will let you on the boat. 80 years. You got to practice before we ever let you near the stove in your own cookware. I'm glad my wife learned to cook early. Listen, she couldn't cook when we got married. You ask her. I cooked. She tried to make a Chinese dish one night. I told you this before. We called it teriyaki. Instead of teriyaki.
It's Japanese. But
Japanese. Japanese. Well, it was a try. Listen, it was something over there in Asia she tried to make, and it just turned out teriyaki. We couldn't eat it. And after that, it got better. Everybody say preparation. I wanted to show you this because if I had prepared and read the directions, I probably could have taken some pictures. But a camera like this, it's really no good if you don't know. If you don't know, it does you no good at all if you're not prepared. Is that right? So Moses is spending 80 years in life to get ready for one moment. Preparation, the value of preparation. Here's the deal. the work that God is doing in your life right now and has in the past will work for you. It'll work for you. It will direct you to higher understandings. And if you ever get it in your mind, like I have it now in my spirit, that I'm in a preparation time, then it's okay. Because the things that are worked out of you, the things that you don't need in your life, how many of you ever had God work stuff out? Anybody? Anybody? How about, let's get specific a minute. Any used to be cussers in the house? Used to cuss? Just cuss. Say bad stuff. Every now and then you still do, but it ain't as bad as it was. He's trying to work that out. How many of you had a bad temper? I don't have a temper. I don't have a bad temper. Is anybody here got a temper? Let me see the people. Or maybe you don't anymore. You used to. I need to see this because I need to say who to shake hands with when I leave. And the tempers. How about you people that are passive aggressive? You're so sneaky. Man, you're just sneaky. You're going to get your way, but nobody's going to know you're working it out.
That's what I did after.
You got that. Well, I'm talking to you now. What? Oh, my God, I've lost my crowd.
After I got delivered from my bad temper, which yes. This is true, I'm not playing, then I became passive-aggressive, and I'm still working on it.
From one,
yeah. Yeah, but, you know.
And
I you're got
doing it, and right now he's being passive-aggressive, right? The plan of God is to set you free. Not just of the things everyone else complains about, but the stuff that's inside of you. The fears you have. The confusion you have. God is at work, and that's what he was doing with Moses. He was preparing. When John the Baptist came, he said, I have come to prepare the way of the Lord. I'm gonna get people's minds ready to receive this change that's coming. So he preached, repent. The word repent is metanoia. It means to change your mind. Metamorphosis. What does that mean? How many of you know a butterfly? That's to change physically. Metanoia means to change your mind. The word repent does not mean come to an altar and cry. What it means is, while I'm preaching, change your mind. Repent. Jesus said, the kingdom is here. Repent and believe the good news. John the Baptist came saying, there's somebody coming after me. I'm not worthy to untie his sandals. He is going to baptize you with the Spirit. You are going to be set free. And Moses is the foundation for this concept that in a moment, at midnight, God set a nation free in a minute, in the twinkling of an eye. It's not a lifetime process. You can sit here today and go, oh, I receive that. And suddenly light shines in the darkness. Chains break in an instant. And all that he was doing before this moment was to get you ready so he could set you free. Boom, set you free. Deliver you. John the Baptist said, that's the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. He was getting everybody's minds ready. He goes to prison. Not long after Jesus came on the scene, John the Baptist is in trouble. He goes to prison. They're gonna behead him. He's going to be killed. He sends word back to Jesus. Are you the one, or should we look for another one? And Jesus said, you go tell John, the blind see, the lame are walking, and the poor have the gospel preached to them. What was he doing? He was preparing John to face death. I'm telling you that God can prepare you so that you can handle anything. So you can look cancer in the eye. You can look poverty in the eye. You can look your past and say, I'm ready. I can handle this. I'm ready. I've been prepared. I've been through the fire. I've been on God's preparation list. Somebody say, praise the Lord. Praise So in education, learning, getting ready. Today, I talked with a guy named Jared, and he didn't know that I was a pastor, and I told him I got to be at the church at 10:30. And he said, "And you want to go?" So, yeah, listen to this. I was so excited telling him that God had planned to set him free. He told me that he made $5,000 last Friday. He makes big money. And I said to him, "Something's happening to you." He said, "I'm going to quit my job. I'm going to do this, make this money." And I said, "What happens is God prepares you. And then finally, when you find your passion, it's like you're on fire." And I said, "That's the way I feel about God and church. That's the way I feel about worship. I'm on fire." And I preached this to him today. I preached this twice today. And I said, "What God's doing is preparing you, working stuff out, making himself known to you, Jared, so that someday you'll stand up and say, 'It was God that brought me through that. And I know it now. That was getting me ready for this.'" And you say, "Well, Pastor, I don't know if I have a testimony. I can't raise my hand. I can't wave my hand. I can't shout hallelujah right now." I know, you're in the wilderness. You're where Moses was. You're where John the Baptist was, saying, what's happening? How many of you know now that your doubt, your complete emptiness of faith has been a preparation by God so that you would not lean on your faith, but you would lean on God? Did you get that? I don't believe in faith. I believe in God, and that is my faith. I believe in God. He has prepared me to stand when the wind blows, when the storms come. He's taken my complaining away. I can't remember the last time I complained. And some of you can't remember your last good day. He's trying to change your life, trying to set you free. Somebody say, "Praise the Lord." So when you are prepared, your passion for your gift will cause you to flourish. Listen, not because you're gifted, but because you're passionate about it. I talked about this a couple of Wednesday nights ago and had Nate talk a little bit about music, talk about a friend of his. I'm just telling you that when it clicks, when God Almighty and you find your passion, and you're preparing for that thing. How many of you have a passion? How many of you know what it is? Today, when we were leaving the house, Terry mentioned something about lunch, and she's already thinking about lunch. That's what cooks do. Nate thinks about music. Fishermen think about fishing. But it was your passion. What happens is God delivers you from all the other stuff and lets you focus on your passion. And when you are preparing for that thing that you love, it's no longer work. It's not work to you. You love it. You love it. You can't wait to get to it because you love it. And I'm telling you, that is preparation. God has been preparing you, delivering you, setting you free from the madness so that you can live. Galatians 5:1, and I'll finish. Galatians, please, chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5, verse 1. This verse is directly related to the Exodus. It's directly related to Moses. Galatians 5:1 reads, "It is for freedom that Christ has set us free. For the sake of freedom, stand firm, then, and do not let yourselves be burdened again by a yoke of slavery. God did not bring you out of addictions. He didn't bring you out of darkness to birth you into a church system that would be another bondage to you. He didn't do it. But people are so addicted, so bound, that when they come to church, they find a safe place in more addictions. God did not intend to do that. As a matter of fact, He'll deliver you from church, and you won't even go to church, so He can set you free from thinking that church is the answer to your business. You believe that? I declare to you that there are hundreds of people yet unborn into the kingdom, people that are going to be a part of this church that can't be right now because God's got to get them ready, set them free so they don't come here and become addicted to one more thing. Some of your kids need to find God, then they can come back to church. Then the church won't wreck them. God, I love that. He has set me free. It is for freedom that He set you free. Lord, deliver us today. God, set us free today. When Moses steps on the scene and says, we're getting out of here, things got worse before they got better. The pressure got worse. The fighting got worse. People complaining in their houses. It became war. It got worse before it got better. But when God brought them out of Egypt, it was the exact anniversary of the day they went in. He brought them out in a day. I declare to you that your deliverance, your freedom, your passion is one day away. One day. You in a moment can say, I receive it. I believe it. I'm a son of God. I'm a daughter of God. And be done. Last night I was driving and I told Terry, I said, something's about to happen. Something's cooking. People are supposed to buy me a car. Look at her. Just look at her. Can we get a camera on that poor bowed head? She said, you make me so nervous. I said, I can't, it's hard for me to receive charity. I said, well, you better get ready. Because as I get set free, more free from my own insecurities, I'm going to be more bold. And she said, when? I said, well, God's already talked to the people. I'm the second voice. I'm not saying anything new. But five or six people get together and give $10,000 each and we'll get a car. She said, when? I said, maybe before Father's Day. And she said, that makes me so nervous. Are you going to say that? I said, yeah. Yes, I am. Because if God speaks to you to give, He's delivering you from fear and from the love of money. And there's only one way to get rid of that. And I'm not afraid of that. You need to be delivered from the love of money or the fear of it. I've had it on me. I've been afraid. Does anybody? Let me see how many of you have real concerns, have had real concerns about money. So concerned and so that if God spoke to you and said, give $10,000 to help buy the pastor a car, you would die. It would choke you to death. The thought would just make you sick. That's why you feel bad right now, because He spoke to you and you haven't done it.
Now, is that right or not?
Has God ever spoken to you and you argued with him and didn't do it until you were just sick and trembling and crazy? Supposed to say something, supposed to go help somebody, supposed to do something, and didn't do it. Make you crazy, don't it? So I'm only saying that because I'm here to talk about freedom today. I got to be free enough to say it. She's got to be free enough to forgive me for it. Because it's making her sick. She gets sick. She says, I can't take that. I can't take it. I said, okay. Hang with me, baby. Just hang with me. Some of you struggle with giving your tithe because you can't figure out how you're going to make it. You completely have lost your faith in God, and you have your faith in money. Somebody say, tell it like it is. You're afraid. You don't give because you're afraid. And you forget that the Bible says everything you have came from God. And you're just a steward. And all you're doing is taking what he gave you and doing what he tells you to do with it. And he said, I'll restore your basket. I'll put it on you so much that it runs over. If you'll do what I tell you, it'll flow. It'll flow. I'm about to take the offering. But I'm trying to set you free. Paul said, I do not want yours, but I do want you. God is going to provide for me. He's giving you an opportunity to give. I hope there's some brand new people here today that walk out of here and talk about this part of the message. Because if I was new and I heard a pastor say this, I'd go home and complain about it. Wouldn't you? Some of you might anyway. But if you think for 1 minute, no, let me just say it. I'm not concerned about a car. I'm concerned about you. I can buy a car. I can afford a car. I can go buy 2 new cars. I could buy me a car and Terry a car. Did you hear me? And I can pay the insurance. And I can put gas in them. I can afford a car. Then why don't you go buy a car? Because the Holy Ghost keeps telling me I told people to give. And if you'll hang on a little bit, they'll do it. So who's it for? Is this easy? Is this hard? Are you getting this? Boy, you're getting real quiet. I have a miracle car out there. The sucker won't quit running until somebody in this church, 5 or 6 of you, because it's going to take about to replace it. Toyota 4Runner Limited. What color? What do you call that color, Terry? Look at me. Look at me, Terry. Beige, white. It's kind of a white color something. Look at her. She's sick about it. Breathe. Don't hold your breath. I'm just telling you what we're going to get. Just so you know, and if the Lord has spoken to you, it's time for you to rise up. It's time for you to be set free. How long do you want to be enchained in your bondage? I've preached about tithes. I've talked about giving. And many people don't get it. But it really isn't about money. It's about fear. It's about fear. It's about whether or not God will do what he said. It's about faith. Because once you take this medium of exchange called money. How many of you know, I went to, the first time when I went to Russia, did we go to Russia together? With the Carruthers. Did you know that in the 1990s, you could exchange American blue jeans. The Russians wanted blue jeans. That you could go to Russia with a box of blue jeans and live for a year. They'd pay so much for American blue jeans, and there was no export and import all that time. Blue jeans became money. Money isn't a dollar bill. It's a medium of exchange. When I get to the Boundary Waters about the 4th day, as a matter of fact, Nate Keller said he would have given $100 for a glass of milk because we had some of Terry's cookies. He said, I'd give $100 right now for a glass of milk with these cookies. Milk would have been the exchange. I could have made a lot of money if I had some milk. I take lures that the fish bite on, and the guys say, you have any of those? I said, they're very expensive right now. Money is a medium of exchange. When you give it in the kingdom, it becomes a seed. it becomes a faith. It's no longer money. It's faith. And God responds to faith. I want you to be free. I want you to be financially free. I don't want you laying in bed worrying about it. I don't want you scribbling over your bills while I'm preaching. I don't want you wondering where your next dollar's coming from. I don't want you to believe that the Democrats are going to run the country into hell or that the Republicans are going to run it into hell next time. I want you to believe that God's bigger than the economy and he will take care of you. He does exactly what he says. He's going to provide for you. But you can't say, well, provide for me, then I'll give. No, he said, you give, and it shall be given to you.
Amen.
You hear me? And I'm not asking everybody or just anybody in this church to give to a car. I don't want your $50 bill. Give it in the offering. I don't want it. But there are people, five or six of them. The Holy Ghost has spoken to me, and I told Terry, it's about time. It's about time. It's time. Lord, we thank you for this word today and how you're all about freedom. It's for freedom that you came. That's what you're here for. You don't want our money. I don't want these people's money. They don't want my money. What they want is a word from God. What we want is your spirit. That's what we want. And we know that when you speak and breathe on us, we're full of life. And I thank you for that today. I thank you for the liberty and the boldness that you've given to me. I thank you for these people. What a wonderful praise time this was today. Thank you for visiting us. Now, I'm asking you, Lord, to speak with your gracious voice, your loving voice. Encourage your people to let go, to free themselves of the bondage of money. Free them from fear. Free them, Lord. Again, confirm to the people that you've already spoken to about the car thing. Just confirm it to them so they would respond. Take the fear away. Let them do it, and it's like a release. They'll be free. In Jesus' name. And everybody said amen. Okay, let's give our offerings. You want to raise your hand? The ushers are in the back. They'll come forward. And you can get an envelope from them. Thank you, Lord. While you're doing that, let me continue just for a moment to help you walk in faith. Because I believe the scriptures that say, given it shall be given to you bread. You know, I believe in sowing and reaping. When I give, especially like this, could you bring the brown envelope offering? When I give in the offering at church and when I give in these brown envelope offerings, I'm not your pastor now. I just want to be your friend. Listen to me. I feel a secure future. I don't know how else to say that. I feel a secure future. Terry, that's a check for $10,000 toward the car. Oh God! Let me tell you my first thought was God's gonna. I didn't even think about the car. I swear to God, I went, "Oh, what's gonna happen for Nate and Lori?" How many of you wish you had $10,000 to give right now? Thank you. I believe you. I trust you. Trust me, I believe you. There are four or five more of you that got it in the bank right now. And it isn't about me. I've been here 15 years now. Come on. Does anybody know me? This is not about me. It's not about me. It's not about me. Oh, my God, my God. Here we go. That blew my mind. What was I saying? Jesus. Well, when I have secured my future, Nate Saban has just secured his future. He obeyed God. He obeyed God. And I'm telling you, God's not going to let him down. Listen, it may get worse before it gets better, but when it's better, it's going to be total deliverance. That's all I know. I'm just telling you. Is there anybody else supposed to do this today? I see you. I'm waiting on you. Anybody else supposed to do it today? Anybody else supposed to do this? It's written out the grace place. We'll do that. Ray Starr's not here today. All right. Let's stand, shall we? I'm going to tell you, you just look up this way when you come to church. You're going to see me and Nate dancing and crazy wow. That's all I know. Think. Lori.
Has given up that have been given to him, and he's given it back to the church over and over again. Seven cars. And I know his heart, and I feel like it gets so quiet in here because a lot of you are afraid and you're timid about what is he trying to do. And he's trying, you know, when he says give, I give, I believe it. And it's not about me either. It just is about the kingdom, and I know I trust him when he says give. There's not anything in it that's malicious or greedy or in control. It's because he felt the Lord to say it, and I'm going to follow that and do it, and I'm excited about it. I don't have fear. Like, I don't have any fear about giving it. It just, I'm excited to give. So, that's it.
Jesus, please set us free, Lord. Please set this church free. Now listen, I'm not sick of it. I'm not burdened with you. I'm not tired. That car, honest to God, I'm not. I'm just saying I sure wish you'd move and do what you're supposed to do, because she's talking about on the way to church today before I brought it up, y'all. Does that make any sense to you? How many of you feel that? You go, I like that. Jesus, I'm not stuck right now either. And I'm not nervous, I promise you. I think the Holy Ghost is raining on us. He's trying to set us free. Thank you, Lord God. Thank you for whatever happened this morning before church to confirm that to Lori. Okay. I guess I'm just, like we used to wait for somebody to talk in tongues, I'm just waiting for somebody else to walk up. I'm giving you a chance to obey the Holy Ghost. It's all right. Well, there's two, Terry. Look, she's so nervous, she's patting her feet in rhythm. She's sick about it. You got to get over that, Terry, because I'm not a nut. Hey, you listen to me. How hard would this be if it wasn't the Holy Ghost? Can I ask you that? think about what I'm saying to you right now. I would be out of my mind if it weren't that the Holy Ghost spoke to me, and it's been a year and a half. 3 years ago, I pulled in a parking lot. He said, get out of this parking lot. I went to Merritt Chevrolet. He said, get out of this parking lot. What are you doing here? What are you doing here? I'm going to get me a car. No, you're not. I told you, wait. Because he's setting somebody up to do a miracle in their lives. That's all I know. That's all I know. I believe that, Sparky. In Jesus' name. Okay. Yes, Brad. You want to come stand? No, I don't want you. Wait, listen. When? Take a couple weeks. Remember the prophecy. What I told you. There's three. She's shaking like a leaf. She's sick about it. There's three. I don't want to labor. I don't want you to labor, you that are not involved. I don't want you to labor. But would you just bow your head and pray with me just a moment, Lord? We're praying because things are happening right now in the spirit that are just freaking us out. And there are people who've been spoken to and they need to respond, and it's going to build the faith of this church, and it's going to break the back of finances. It's going to break the spirit of poverty. It's going to break the spirit of fear. There are people who are right now in the grip of your grace, trembling in your presence. And we are going to obey you. I'm going to obey you. I will obey. I will follow you. And I'm asking you right now in the name of Jesus. We are agreeing together. Agree with me, church. We're asking you to set people free today. Set it free, Lord. Set it free. Set it free today, Jesus. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. I'll tell you one more thing. Now that Brad said what he did, I told Terry today, we'll have the car by Father's Day. After all these years, she said, when? I said, by Father's Day. Because God's talking to people. Because God's talking. Because I'm going to go see my dad. He's 83. And we're going to drive instead of fly. I said, we're driving. You asked her if I didn't say this 2 days ago. I said, we're going to drive. We're not flying. We're going to take this old car? I said, no, we're going to take the new one. Look at her. Lori Sabin, I told her we're driving the new car. And now there's $30,000 toward a new car. Somebody's got to think about this. God's not, it's not about me, and it's not about a car for me. It's about you. Somebody. Okay. If I could get on with it, bless God, I'd get on with it. I'm hungry, and I got kids waiting on me. Would you like to maybe make some, I don't know what to do, Nate. Maybe no music. Maybe holy, holy. The holiness of the Lord in this house. Thank you, Jesus. Amen.
Thank you for joining us today. We hope this message has been a blessing to you. You can subscribe to this podcast via iTunes. To learn more about Grace Place, please visit our website at graceplacemn.org. Thanks for listening. May God bless you this week.